Okay, good morning, everybody. Guka Ben Shtir to everyone, to all. My first year of the new year. Baruch Shachianu v'kiyumanu v'gianu lezman hazeh. Shimshon Pinkus teaches that the new year is not a continuation of the old year. It's brand new. It's a brand new year, a new beginning. Bereishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim ve'es ha-aretz. We're not the same people we were before Rosh Hashanah. It's not the same world that it was before Rosh Hashanah. Everything is created new. It's funny. What was the first thing that we just did, start the shiur with? Yehi Or. Said we need Hashem for everything, even the light. So here we are during the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. Gamzu Latova, the copy machine was jammed, so I'm going to read my sources to you and do my best to keep you on the same page as me. Rav Elimelech Biderman relates, a certain Rav was in the waiting room of the basin of the Eid HaCharedis in Yerushalayim. So someone saw him, and he was just waiting and waiting and waited. He was not going into court. He was never called into basin. So the man said, you have a court case today? Perhaps you came to say testimony. Why are you waiting here? No, I just came to see what the people are like when they're waiting for judgment. I see everyone here is very uptight. Some people are saying Tehillim, some people are pacing, some people are smoking. Everyone's so nervous. What's the judgment about? Some money. So I'm wondering, it's Elo, and we can say it's the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, and we're being judged with our lives, not some money. Why don't I see people being afraid? Everyone should be worried and concerned. We should be pacing. We should be saying Tehillim. We should be taking upon ourselves the avoda of this time period. The Rambam teaches in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Gimel, Afal Pishat Ki Yashofar Rosh Hashanah Gzeiros HaKasuv, even though we blow Shofar Rosh Hashanah because two paces in the Torah tells us that B'chodesh HaShvi B'chad L'chodesh Yom Tshua Yelachem. That Rosh Hashanah is defined as the essence of Yom Teruah, the day of Shofar. And even though we blow Shofar, because it's a Gzeira HaKasuv, because Ribono Shel Olam said, on this day you blow Shofar. Nevertheless, Ramas Yeshbo, says the Rambam, there is an illusion in the Shofar. Klomar, the Shofar blast tells you, Uru, Uru, wake up, wake up. Yesheni Mishinaschem, you're asleep. The shofar is an alarm clock. It's a blaring blast. You're in a deep slumber. You know those mornings when you're in a really deep sleep? It doesn't happen so often anymore. Especially as I age, it doesn't happen so often anymore. But when you're really asleep, and the alarm clock jars you awake, oh, what is that? What day it is? Where am I? Uru, uru, wake up. The hakitsu nirdamim, you're in a deep slumber. Wake up from your slumber. The chapsu b'ma'asechem, search your deeds. Chizru b'teshuva, this is the time to return in repentance. V'zichru bara'achem, what does it mean to return in repentance? To remember your Creator. Elu hashochachim es ha'emes b'havlei hazman. We who forget the truth, we become so involved with the vanities of time. V'shogim kol shnasim behevel v'rik. We spend their entire year with hevel havalim, with vanity, with emptiness. Ashelo yo'il v'lo yatzil. This emptiness, this hevel, is not going to save us. It's not going to help us. Habitu l'nafshoseichem. You have to look deep into your souls. V'heitivu darchichem. You have to make your ways good. V'yazov kol echan mikem darcho hara. We have to leave the bad ways and our thoughts that are not good. This is the tafkid of this time period. Soon after World War II broke out, Rabbi Zion Halberstam, Hashem Yukom Damo, the Baba of a Rebbe, fled his hometown of Babov for the relative safety of the town of Lemberg. En route, he stopped in the town of Lutsk. He spent the holiday of Sukkot, and due to the war conditions, it was impossible to obtain an esrog. The only esrog to be had at that time was one that was dried from the previous year. The Rav also speaks about when his father of Moshe Zatzal was the Rav in the town in the 1920s, how hard it was to get an esrog. What we take for granted, where should I buy one, how much should I spend, take it to the Rav to ask if it's perfect, if it's muhudar, what range. There's a plethora. Fascinating story the Rav tells us, just an aside. So his father managed to procure an esrog at a very steep price. And on the first day, his sister Shalamis picked up the esrog to look at the esrog. And it fell. It dropped. And the pigeon broke. And it was no longer kosher. So the Rav says to spend a fortune on an esrog is one thing. to not become angry, my father did not say one word. Not one word. This is tzimtzum par excellence, he says, contraction, withdrawal, removing yourself from your midos of the person you want to lash out. How could you? It cost a fortune. So back to the Baba Vareba, they didn't have an esrog. It was shortly after the Holocaust broke out, there was no esrog, a dried esrog from the previous year. And the Baba Vareba sat together with those who had fled to the town of Lutsk, and they were despondent. They could not fulfill the mitzvah of Arba Minim that year. So the Baba Vareba wanted to give them some chizuk. So he told them a certain story, which his father, Rav Chaim of San Zatzal, had related on Sukkot. It's a cute story. Once, cute with a big important point, once Sheker was walking down the street, and he met the Yetzer Hara. Sheker is Lai, and Lai is walking down the street, and he meets the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is looking very ill. So Sheker says, "What's the matter? You look so ill today." The Yetzer Hara says, "It's Elul, we're coming up to Tishrei, the Jewish people are doing teshuva wholeheartedly. No matter how hard I try to get them to sin, I can't do it, I'm not successful. Do you have an Yetzer for me? They're putting me out of business," says the Yetzer Hara. So after thinking for a moment, Sheker has an Yetzer, he has a good idea. So he tells his friend, the Yetzer Hara, "I have an idea. The Esrogim are being imported by boat from Greece. Sink the ship. There won't be any esrogim available. Nobody will be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Arba Minim." Delighted with the plan, the Yetzer Hara hurried off. He's going to find the ship. He's going to sink the ship. There won't be any esrogim to fulfill Arba Minim that year. Sometime after Sukkot, Sheker and Yetzer Hara once again met on the street. This time, the Yetzer Hara looked even worse than before. "What's the matter?" says Sheker. The Yetzer Hara shouted, "You're no friend of mine. The advice you gave me backfired. It had the exact opposite effect." "What happened?" said Sheker. "In previous years, the Jews had a esrogim for Sukkot. They fulfilled the mitzvah. But I could score the occasional victory. There were some people who only had in mind everyone should notice how beautiful their esrog was. There were some people who fulfilled the mitzvah because of gaiva, because of public accolades, because of vanity. Others wanted everyone else to know what great kavana they had when they took the Arba Minim. I was still able to obtain the occasional victory. This year, there were no esrogim at all. Everybody was genuinely heartbroken and not being able to fulfill the mitzvah. They cried to Hashem. They davened wholeheartedly. They were remorseful. They couldn't fulfill such an important mitzvah. Under such circumstances, Hashem gave them credit as if they fulfilled the mitzvah. When a person is prevented from doing a mitzvah, Kadosh Baruch Hu considers it as if he fulfilled. Your plan," said the Yetzer Hara to Sheker, "totally backfired." So the Kedusha Sion, Baba Vareba, looked at those gathered, and he said, "This story is relevant for our situation today. We're unable to fulfill the mitzvah of Esrog of Arba Minim. All we have is a dried Esrog from last year. Hashem will perform the mitzvah for us because he sees our desire to fulfill. It's as if we have fulfilled in the best way possible." One of these stories, both of them, the story of the Rav that he relates about his father, Moshe Zatzal, and the story that the Baba Vareba related about Sukkot, besides the fact that soon we're coming after Sukkot, what do these stories have to do with these inyanim of today, the Aserasim made Teshuvah, this time of repentance? The avod that we shall all be doing now, the halacha of the Rambam, that we have to leave our ways and remember our Creator. So Rav Menachem Mendel of Kotsk teaches the following. It's brought down by Rav Elimelech Biederman. There are two different aspects or facets of our Avodas Hashem. There are deeds and desires. I am going to call that the deeds Chovos HaEvarim, and desires are Chovos HaLevavos. I have the deed, wrapped tefillin, not a good example for me, but you get the point. They're in the middle of having all their minyanim here. That is chovos ha'evarim. And then there is chovos ha'levavos, how you feel inside, the desire inside. Better example for us, you take Arba Minim. That is chovos ha'evarim. How do you feel when you take the Arba Minim? Chovos ha'levavos. You take l'shem shamayim because you want to fulfill. Or so the guy next to you should say, look how much kavana they have. So Rav Menachem Mendel of Kotsk teaches as follows. In the realm of deed, there isn't always a discernible difference between a great tzaddik, always, between a righteous person, between someone fulfilling the Shema and the next guy. In the realm of deed, the person wrapping his tefillin around his arm looks like the guy next to him. They're both doing the same thing. Chovos ha'ivarim. It means duties of the limb. In regard to duty of the limb and the action, he looks the same as the next guy next to him. However, in regard to desire, chovos ha'levavos, duty of the heart, in regard to kavana, in regard to intention, there is a vast world of a difference between people. Some understand that there's nothing better than fulfilling what's on a shadow, and this is what they ultimately want with their whole heart. And for some people, there's no yearning. They do it because everyone else does it. How would it look if I didn't take Arba Minim? How would it look if I didn't put on X, Y, and Z today? There are two aspects or facets of our Avodas Hashem. And the question for us during this time period, and we're soon going to relate it very much source based to this time period, is not only are we going through the motions, but do we feel the motions? Chovas ha'evarim. But what about chovas ha'levavos? Where are my kavanos, my intentions? What's my feeling? What's my passion? Am I connected to the Borei Olam during this time? Not only am I staying with the Machzor and staying with the Sanatokaf, how do I feel? Chazal teach us that in the beginning, this is Ran of Rashi's first comments on the Chumash, Rashi comments, Bereishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim ve'es ha-aretz. So know which name of God is used in that pasuk. Din. Elokim means, signifies the attribute of strict justice. By the time we get to Perek Beis, what other name of Hashem is added on? Hashem. The whole Perek Aleph only has one name of Hashem, and it is the name that denotes the attribute of strict justice. Elohim, when you get to Perek Beis, you are all of a sudden introduced to Shem Hashem, which is Yod Kei Vav Kei, and that represents mercy or rachamim. So why is there no rachamim in Perek Aleph? And by the time we get to Perek Beis, we have the emergence, if you will, of divine mercy through Shem Hashem. Perek Aleph only is Elohim. So a very famous Ma'amar Chazal quoted by Rashi, and Rashi tells us, in the beginning, Hashem only wanted to create the world with Din. What would Din be? One strike, you're out. You know what Din would be? We would have not been here a long time ago. That's what Din would have been. I'm not trying to insult anybody, I'm stating a fact. Din is, the Torah says, don't do this, you did this, thank you very much, we're done. Lo nemar bara Hashem, says Rashi, it doesn't say Hashem rachamim created shebetchila Allah b'machshava livroso b'midas adin. In the beginning, Allah b'machshav to, so to speak, if you could say that about God, it was in his thoughts in the beginning, so to speak, to create the world with strict justice. Ra'a, she'ein ha'olam mitkayim, it's not possible. Finite, weak, turbulent man cannot exist with strict din. Therefore, hiktim midas harachamim. God introduced and gave precedence to the attribute of mercy. V'shitva l'midas ha-din. He made a shitvas. He made a partnership. There's going to be rachamim shem Hashem. There's going to be din shem Elohim. And that's when you meet in Perek Beis, Shem Hashem. So is everyone with me? We're talking about, what are we talking about? We're talking about Rachamim and Din. We're talking about the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, which we are in right now. And we're talking about Chovos HaLevavos and Chovos HaEvarim. And now we're going to put it all together. There is mercy and justice. And God saw it can't be only justice. These people will not survive. I'm going to make a partnership between justice and mercy. We are in the time period of Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, when the Rambam says this is the time to come back to the Ribono Shel Olam. And we are also noting, and now we're going to put these together, that there are Chovos HaEvarim, there's the external action, duty of the limb, but there's also Chovos HaLevavos. There's the Kavana, there's the intention, there's how I feel. Okay. The Aruga Sabosem explains. The attribute of Din remains, and the attribute of rachamim remains. However, they apply to two different realms of Avodas Hashem. When it comes to chovos ha'evarim, duty of the limb, when it comes to action, God will judge us with rachamim. He understands there are extenuating circumstances. There's a yetzer hara. We couldn't always get the action right. How exactly do I wrap my tefillin? Which, not me, which way do I hold the esrog? Do I turn it upside down, right side up, apart, together? How do I make it for the bracha? Sometimes I get confused. How could I have done that? For chovos ha'evarim, duty of the limb, external action, says the Arugo Sabosim. He lived from 1853 to 1910. He began the Pupa Hasidic dynasty through his sons. For actions of the limbs, we are judged with rachamim. God understands. But for actions or kavanos or duties of the heart, for chovos halavavos, I just said it wrong. For actions of the limb, we are judged with rachamim. Hashem understands. You weren't sure if you're supposed to put the esrog and the lulav together or apart. So the pitim be upside down or right side up. Which hand is it supposed to be? And I made a mistake. So for chovos ha'evarim, there's rachamim. However, for chovos ha'levavos, for a lack of kavana, for not wanting to want, for not desiring to do it properly, for not wanting to be better, for that we are judged with midas hadin. That's Elokim. It's a profound, profound, very important insight. In chovos ha'evarim, in action of my limbs, sometimes I make a mistake. Did I take enough for a freshest challah? Was the challah exactly burned before I threw it in the garbage? Was there a chatzitza when I went into the mikvah? I tried so hard for taras and mishpacha, totally, to be clean. So the Rugos Habosim explains, that's rachamim. There's rachamim. But if you don't even want to do it properly, if you don't care if you took the right amount of challah, if it doesn't bother you if you left on some nail polish, if you're not exactly sure how you held the esrog and lulav, but you don't really care how you held the esrog and lulav, there's no excuse for not wanting to do it properly. Sometimes, and let's go back to those first two stories, and I said, what do these nice stories about Sukkos and Esrogim have to do with our time period now? Sometimes you're prevented, Rachmana Litzan, from fulfilling a certain mitzvah. There's no Esrog, so there's no Esrog. The pitim broke off because Shalom is dropped and broke the pitim, so there's no kosher Esrog. And there's only a dried one from last year, because Rachmana Litzan, the Holocaust is here. But what do you want to do? And so there is din for what I am calling chovos halavavos, duties of the heart. It's very powerful. We have to want during this time period. Mordechai Gifter Zatzal, got a bracha when he was a very young boy from Rav Shimon Shkab, who was visiting in America, and Rav Shimon Shkab gave him a bracha. You should always want to learn. Before you actually do the learning, before you do Esther, before you do Chal, before you do Taras HaMashpacha, before you do Achnasas Archim, beautiful example for this time period of the year, Achnasas Archim, it's a very applicable example. Pasuk says in regard to Sukkos, V'samachta b'chagacha ato v'incha v'itecha, v'avdecha v'amascha v'gercha asher b'shracha, you have to alevi v'ayasim v'amani, you have to include other people in your simcha. So, take the example of Achnasas Archim. It's so applicable. Two people do Achnasas Archim. It looks like they're doing the exact same thing. They're welcoming guests. One genuinely wants the guest, and the other says, another meal? More guests? I have to entertain again at the table? More food? I can't be original? Fine, I'll have them, because I have to have them. Why are you laughing? Because it's such a partial, clear example. It's true. So the Rugos Habosim says, Din and Rachamim are both still here. Very much. You made a mistake on the outside. By the way, I am not condoning sin. This isn't like you deliberately made an error. You want to do it, you prevent it. But how do you feel inside? Such a strong, strong Musar Haskel. The Rambam writes that just like we must repent from sins of action, we must repent from sins of thought and feeling. Rav Shimshon Pinkas teaches, very, very beautiful. He says that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Hadin, and on the other hand, we treat it like a Yom Tov. And there again, we have the convergence of Din and Rachamim. On the one hand, it's called Yom Hadin, and on the other hand, we get dressed nicely, we go to shul, we have Yom Tov meals, we're not fasting. So Yom Tov. So Rav Pinkas says, the true nature of the Yomim No Ra'im is they are Yemei Rachamim. There are days of mercy. says there are fellow Jews who are very far from Torah and mitzvot. They live without Shabbos. They don't eat kosher. Even in our time, a large percentage of such Jews keep these days. Who doesn't know about Rosh Hashanah? I don't remember where we were, but my son said to me, I was looking at the calendar, and I said, I wonder if they know if it's Rosh Hashanah. So my 11-year-old said, Mommy, it's on my calendar. Everybody knows it's Rosh Hashanah. In other words, he has like a calendar of animals. It's not a Jewish calendar. Everyone knows it's Rosh Hashanah. So Finka says, even these Jews have Rosh Hashanah in Yom Kippur. Why? The spiritual awakening that takes place during these days, says Rav Pinchas, is not the result of their avoda, but rather, our awakening comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's relevant for us also. What is Rav Pinchas telling us? That even if you don't feel absolutely how you're supposed to feel during these days, because the days are rachamim, Hashem wants to help you. He will awaken you. He will help you to feel the power of this time. Rav Pinchas has a beautiful line. It's not the Jew that makes Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur that makes the Jew. The day itself has the power to arouse us. We have to allow it to awaken us. The day itself calls out to us. The power of the Itsumo Shel Yom can wake us up. Uru, uru. Wake up, wake up. But we have to allow ourselves to be woken up. We say this pasuk in the beginning of the section of Shofaros. It's actually from Kapitel of Tehillim. Parak Mem Zion, chapter 47. Allah Elohim Betruah. Hashem goes up. Elohim, what are we back to the name of? Din. Hashem Bekol Shofar. So note in this pasuk, Kapitel Mem Zion, pasuk Vav, chapter 47, verse 6. You have both names in regard to Shofar. Allah Elohim Betruah. What is that? Elohim Din goes up in Truah. Hashem Bekol Shofar. Interesting. So there's a difference between Truah and Shofar, and Elohim and Hashem. You still with me? I know you don't have the sources, but we're making it clear, I think. Am I making it clear?
Yeah.
So our Salvechik teaches as follows. He quotes the Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah. This verse, Allah Elohim betruah, Hashem b'kol Shofar, refers specifically to Rosh Hashanah. Teruah, says the Ramban, Nachmanides teaches, Teruah refers to the attribute of Din, and that's why it's put with the name of Elohim. Allah, Elohim betruah. Teruah, the sound of Teruah is Din, and therefore it's put with Elohim. On the other hand, Shofar, the sound of the Shofar, the sound of Tkiah is the sound of Rachamim, and therefore it is the name of Hashem. Hashem b'kol Shofar. So we have in this pasuk the convergence or the partnership or the shitfus of back to Rachamim and Din. Allah Elohim betruah, Hashem bekol shofar. Elohim is Din, Hashem is mercy, Truah is Din, Shofar is mercy. What's going on? The Medrash says this pasuk refers to Rosh Hashanah. So is Rosh Hashanah a day of Din, or is it a day of Rachamim, or is it a day of both? So the Ramban teaches Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment in mercy. Din in Rachamim. The core, says Rav Salvechik, is Din. Allah Elohim betruah. The core of this time period is Din. Nevertheless, Hashem b'kol shofar, the outer layers are ensconced in Rachamim. So you think of a cocoon. There's something in the inside and there's outer layers. The inner part of this day is Din. We've called it Yom Adin. We don't call this day Yom HaRachamim, Yom HaZikaron, Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Adin. Because the essence of the day is Allah Elohim B'Teruah. It's a day of judgment. We're all being judged. But nevertheless, it is a day that is ensconced in Rachamim. And it's that Rachamim that is the power to wake us up. It's the Rachamim that can make us want to want. We have to allow it in. We have to allow it to speak to us. We have to allow it to wake up our neshama. Therefore, Very beautifully, Rav Soloveitchik says, when we blow shofar, the teruah is bracketed by the tkiah sounds. The teruah represents din. The tkiah represents rachamim. So we put the din in the middle. We bracket it by rachamim to show that the essence of the day, the yitzumo shel yam, is a day of din. But we are beseeching rachamim. On this day, from the sound of shofar, Hashem moves from his throne of din, so to speak, to the throne of rachamim. This is what begins this time period of the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. We must want to want. Want the guests. Want to make sure the esrog is in the proper position. Want to make sure whatever mitzvah you're doing is right. Not just that the action is good, but that the internal is good. Because Hashem's rachamim is flowing during this time. And if you don't allow it to wash over you and into you, then there's no excuse. Then you're judged with din. You understand? The rachamim is flowing. Says Rav Pinkas, it's not the Jew that makes Yom Kippur, it's Yom Kippur that makes the Jew. We're not only talking about assimilated Jews, we're talking about us. Ariat Tishu. Ah, Baruch Hashem. Sorry. So it's a day of shitvus between rachamim and din. The core, says the Ramban, is din. Allah Elokim betruah. Hashem b'kol shofar. It's ensconced by rachamim. So we're being judged, but Hashem is opening the wellsprings of rachamim to us. And even if after that experience you still don't want, your chovos halavavos are still missing, you're still not happy with the mitzvahs, even though you do them, then you go back to the core of din. Then you go back to Elohim. Because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma, very famously, Bali Tahir Misayin Oso. He who wants to become purified, he will be helped. The Moshe Om wants to help us. Trua. Did you ever consider, I never saw this till this year, so I was preparing my shiurim for this time period, that the root word of trua is friend. Re'acha v're'a avicha al tazov. V'hafta l're'acha kamocha. Through the sound of the tru'ah, which is the sound of din, we make the Ribono Sha'olam into our friend, which denotes rachamim. You have to make him your friend. It's a two-way street. Can't be friends with someone who's not interested, can you? You could try, you could send flowers, you could invite them out if they don't want. So they don't want. So then you're going to give up. You're going to say, they don't want to be my friend. So Chalila, we don't want to be judged with the din because we don't want to want. Okay. So now we come to the point where we have established, based on the sources, that the wellsprings of rachamim are open to us. Good. Allah Elohim betruah, Hashem b'kol shofar, says the Medrash, just refers to Rosh Hashanah. It begins, Allah Elohim betruah, Hashem begins with din, Hashem b'kol shofar. But when we move to the sound of shofar and tkiah, Hashem is our friend, and it's rachamim. So, here's the problem. All very nice, very holy, very lofty. We're all going to leave here, we're going to want to what? Another meal, more guests, more food. Baruch Hashem. It is Baruch Hashem. What's the problem? Haven't I been there, done that? Didn't I go through this whole thing last year? I didn't do the process of tshuva already. And the year before, and the year before. And from the time I started to be self-aware, didn't I go through all of this already? So I'm going through the same thing. I don't know. Does it work? It doesn't work. Tamar's story. She told this following story about her mother, Rabbi Tzenheni Machas, Allah Ala Shalom. My mother always worked on herself. For example, she would say, I'm working on not getting upset. I would say, Ima, but Ima, you were screaming 5 minutes ago. You were screaming, why isn't anyone helping me? Why did you scream? She would answer, you're right. I'm working on not screaming. When I was growing up, Tamar said, our house was not organized. A few weeks before she died, my mother said, I'm working on getting the house organized. 2 weeks before she passed away, she said, we have to get a new closet for the boys' room. That will help me to be more organized. It was a goal of hers. In terms of giving presents for birthdays or weddings, she wasn't so good at that. She would say, my sisters are good at giving presents. I'm not so good. I'm going to get better at giving presents. On her last trip to America, she brought every kid and every grandchild a present. It's a very powerful vignette. It's very important. I'm working, but you were just screaming, but I'm working on it. But you were just screaming, but I'm working on it. Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, there's a vignette that I relate often. Every night would make a cheshbon nefesh. Every night. What I did good, what I didn't do good, what I did right, what I didn't do right. So he would have the list. So he would look at all the chisronos of the day. He would say, Levi Yitzchak, tomorrow will be better. And then the other half of himself would say, Levi Yitzchak, you said that last night. And then the other half of himself would say, I know, but tonight I really mean it. And we have to say, Hashem, this year, I really mean it. It's true I tried last year. I'm still screaming. It's true I tried last year. I still don't have my chovos halevavos in place. It's true I tried last year. Again, 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 again. We have to get a closet. It's going to help me get organized. Ki sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. You know this pasuk from Mishlei. A tzadik will fall 7 times and yet rise again. It's true I've been here. It's true I've done that. This is in news. But once again, we all need the Divrei Hesorus. And once again, we all need the reminders. What does the Rambam write? The Rambam says the avoda of this time. V'chapsu b'ma'aseichem v'chizu b'tshuva. Doesn't write you should only do this once in your life. Search your deeds. Return in repentance. V'zichru b'achem. Remember your Creator. This is the time. U'isha'i mikashlu b'ra'ach. What makes a Rasha, besides for the wicked ways? When he falls, he stumbles in his wickedness. He doesn't have the power to yet rise again. I'm working on not screaming. Ima, you were just screaming. You're right, I'm working on it. So powerful. I'll tell you, I'm going to quote something from Rav Eli Melech Biederman now. I read it a couple of weeks ago. And it actually moved me to tears. I was at my kitchen table. It was after a very long and one of those trying days. It was a Sunday evening. I think it was a day when Yetzer and Sheker met each other on the street and they're trying to figure out how to trip up Michal Horowitz, the goal of the day. It was a hard day. And I read this. I was by myself. Everyone else was upstairs, I think maybe asleep. And I was moved to tears. I'm going to share it with you. A bachar who learned in the Sfas Emes Yeshiva of Gur was planning on traveling to Chutz La'aretz. To be certain, he did not oversleep. He remained awake the entire night. He went to Davin by the Kosel before he left. He met his Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael of Gur. He was also there as a tzal. The Rebbe tapped him on the shoulder and he said, tell me, young man, before you go to Chutz La'aretz, one more lesson. What's the greatest praise one can say about the Ribbono Shel'olam? The greatest shavach of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, HaMelech, the Malach who takes din, but surrounds it by rachamim. What's the greatest praise? Voracious bar alokim, what's the greatest praise? A moment or two of silence, the Bachar doesn't have an answer. How could you pick the greatest praise of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Finite man has nothing to say. So the Beis Yisrael of Gur looked at his Bachar, and he said, the greatest praise of Hashem is that he doesn't laugh. And the Rebbe laughed. So the Bachar has no idea what he's talking about, so he goes back to yeshiva. He meets the Pnei Menachem Zatzal, who is the Rosh Yeshiva. And he tells him the exchange he had. He said, I don't understand. Hashem doesn't laugh. That's the greatest praise. So Pnei Menachem replied, I'm the Rosh Yeshiva here. If I would go over to a Bachar and tell him he's not acting properly in a certain area, the Bachar will admit this is true. And he will say, Rosh Yeshiva, I'm going to improve. I would believe him. And the following day, I see him doing the same thing. And I go over and I tap him on the shoulder. Remember what we spoke about yesterday? You're doing the same thing. Oi, Rosh Yeshiva, Kavod HaRav, I remember. tomorrow it's going to be better. And I'll believe him. But if this goes on for a week, for a month, after 2 months, I'm not going to believe him anymore. And if I tap him on the shoulder and I say, what's going on? He says, I'm going to improve. I'm working on it. I'll just laugh. I won't trust him. What's the answer? Hashem never laughs. That, says the Beis Shel Gur, is the greatest praise. I cried when I read this. After a hard day, the greatest praise of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He doesn't laugh at me. I'm trying to be better, God. And on day 300 of the year, I'm still trying. And he doesn't laugh. And he doesn't give up. And he knows I want my chovos halavavos to match my chovos ha'ivarim. And he knows Bali Tahir Misayin also. He knows I want to be better. It's so hard. But I want it. I'm going to be better. You're right. I'm working on not getting upset. I'm working on buying presents, whatever your personal avoda is. I'm working on being organized. That's part of your avoda Hashem. No matter how old you are, and how many times you've been through this path, and how many times you tried to change, and the Ribbono Shel Olam taps on your shoulder and he says, what's going on? I'm going to be better. And he doesn't laugh at me. That's the greatest shavach and hodah of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He never gives up. I cried. I was mamish moved to tears. He waits until I succeed to do teshuva. And he never laughs. The Moshev Leitzim, Lo Yashav. The Rav says, very, very beautifully, I just read this on Rosh Hashanah. The Pasuk tells us, Dirshu Hashem Bihi Matzo, you've all heard this Pasuk, especially in relation to this time, it's from Yeshayahu, Perek Nun Hei. Search for Hashem where he can be found. Karuhu Biyos Karov, call out him when he is close. So we're talking about this time period. And yet, in the Haftorah of Yom Kippur, we don't read that Pasuk. In the Haftorah of Yom Kippur, we read from Yeshayahu Perek Nun Zayin. And we read, Va'omer Solu Solu Panu Darach. Cast up, turn from your way. Harimu michshol miderech ami, remove the obstacle from the path of my people. That's what we read. Solu, solu, panu derech. Cast yourself up, cast off, turn away. So Rav Soloveitchik says, why don't we read on Yom Kippur, Dirshu Hashem bihimatzo, karov bios karov. Don't you think that's what you should read right now? Isn't God the closest to us? While the Jew must search for God where he can be found, says the Rav, this initiative rests solely on man. The search becomes the job of man. Dirshu Hashem, you have to seek him out. The next verse says, in Yeshayahu, V'yashav el Hashem, return to God. The path to God is narrow. It is winding. It is a challenging road. Reflecting teshuvah throughout the year. It's not easy. You need a very good GPS, Torah. You need a very good ways and an excellent connection. You know, have you ever been in the mountains? This happened to us a few times this summer. We were in camps over the summer, spent Shabbat in different camps. And you know, when you leave the camps and there's no Wi-Fi in the road and it's dark and the deer runs in front of your car and you think, Ribbono Shel Olam, my life is over. And you don't know where you're going. So the Rav says, the path to God is not a highway. It is a narrow, winding, challenging road. You need to be strongly connected to find your way. On Yom Kippur, in contrast, Hashem comes forward to meet man. Hashem comes to us. Remember we said, the Rav Pinchas says, it's not the Jew that makes Yom Kippur, it's Yom Kippur that makes the Jew. Hashem facilitates the way for our return. He takes us by the hand. He taps you on the shoulder. I know, Michal, you've done this for many, many years. You're going to be successful. I'm not laughing. I believe you. Says the Rav, he takes us by the hand on Yom Kippur. He shows us the way to teshuva. He removes the obstacles. He straightens out a torturous road. Panu darach. Quote, in a spiritually desolate world, we can easily become disoriented. In a spiritually desolate world, we can easily become disoriented. We can lose our sense of reality. We saw the Rambam says we're involved in Hevel the whole year. We are remote from repentance. We're intellectually distant. We're emotionally distant. In this wilderness, Hashem appears. He reconnects us. He shows us the road home. Suddenly, the normally difficult teshuva process seems to have no hardship at all. Harimu mechsho, we read on Yom Kippur, midarach ami, remove the obstacle from the way of my people. The Ribbono Shel Olam straightens out the road to us. We hear God whisper, solu, solu, panu darach, turn, turn, come back to me. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is extending his hand, and he's Rosh Hashiva and the Mashkiach, who's reminding us. And we're going to do it, and we're going to mean it, and I'm working on not getting angry. I believe you. I'm not going to laugh. Panu derech. I read something, Geschmack. I spoke about the analogy with the GPS last year. But I read something, Geschmack, a further ha'ara about the GPS that relates so powerfully to Teshuvah. Also brought down by Rabbi Biederman. When you make a mistake, you went the wrong way, you took the wrong turn, does the GPS yell at you? Yours yells at you? Get a different one. Use Waze, they don't yell. Recalculating, rerouting, it takes a second, it gives you a new path. You don't get into trouble, you don't get into trouble with your GPS. Does yours really yell? It just says rerouting, recalculate. It gives you a different path. This relates back to Hashem doesn't laugh, doesn't get angry, unless we don't want it. Chalila. Then we meet Midas Hadin. You don't even want what I'm offering you. I'm straining the path. I'm ensconcing the day of Din. Allah Elohim Betrua, Hashem B'Kol Shavar. I'm wrapping it in Rachamim. I'm doing everything to facilitate your change. I'm coming to meet you. Ki lo sachpos b'motz hameis, ki im b'shuvo midarko v'chaya. I'm doing everything to help you. You still don't want? Then we meet Din. Hashem never laughs. Unbelievable. Yafesha achas b'teshuva u'maisim tovim ba'olam hazam mikol chayei ha'olam haba. Zalteresim pirke avos perek dalet mishnah chav beis. Yafesha achas b'teshuva u'maisim tovim mikol chayei ha'olam haba. 1 hour, one deed, one act of repentance and good deeds in this world is better than all of eternity. It's unbelievable. On the other hand, 1 hour of pleasantness for the soul in the next world is better than all of this world. Rav Sham Shemfal Hirsch says so beautifully, his commentary on Pirkei Avos, each of these two worlds has its own unique purpose and value, which the other cannot afford us. Each world, Olam Haba, Olam Haza, each has its own purpose. And you can access the purpose of this world and the next world. This world is the place where you prepare yourself through self-ennoblement by fulfilling your physical, moral, and spiritual tasks. You cannot make up in the world to come for any of the spiritual and moral refinement that you have not attained in this world. There's no chances. I may have asked from Shana. I didn't do it right. I meant to do it right. I wanted to want. I didn't. Can I have another chance? You cannot make up in the next world for any of the moral and spiritual refinement you have not attained in this world. Hence, quote, even 1 hour of repentance and good deeds on this earth is more important for the improvement of your soul than all of life in the next. Says her first, 1 hour of repentance, teshuva. These days are it. Imlo achshav emasai, if not now, then when? 1 hour of self-improvement and good deeds, says Rav Hirsch, on this earth is more important for the improvement of your soul than all of life in the next world. For what you have failed to do in 1 hour in this world, you cannot retrieve for all of eternity in the world to come. You know, last night, it was late, so I cleaned up. I had to review this year, edit this year, add sources to this year, trying to put the kids to bed. So one of them was being a little bit wild, and never mind what I have to do, but there's early yeshiva in the morning, you have to be up early. Long yantif. So I was trying to move things along. It was already 9:45. And Baruch Hashem, I thought to myself, you're on recording. You're being recorded. How's this scene going to look when it's played back to you? So how do you want... No, really, I promise. Moving my child from the bedroom to go floss and brush. We try and floss and brush every night. Even shmartim ba'ad nefesh secha. And the child is being a little wild. Upstairs, downstairs, whatever. It's hard to settle down after 3 day antiv. I thought to myself, you're being recorded. How are you going to look? How are you going to feel when this exact scene is playback? 1 hour of repentance and good deeds in this world is more important for the improvement of your soul than all of life in the next world. What you have failed to do in that one moment in your task on this earth, you cannot retrieve even in all of the eternity for the world to come. The world to come, on the other hand, is one of blissful happiness, and all the joys and pleasures in this earth cannot outweigh one single hour of spiritual attainment in the next world. But how do you get to spiritual attainment in the next world? And I only share that ha'ara, which is really a personal moment in Avodas Hashem, to be mechazek other people. I share that ha'ara because I think it could be mechazek others. And I was actually, and for me this is not easy, as we were moving along, not only did I remain calm, but when he was being silly, I managed to smile. That was not easy for me to make it into a light moment. It was an avoda for me, for each of you in your own personal avoda. But I truly share this ha'ara, which is very public now, and it's going to go online, so it's even more public. You should try and keep your avodas Hashem quiet. But l'shem shamayim, maybe it could help somebody. Maybe somebody in their moment... Well, think, you know, da malam malam mimcha, ayin ra, ozen shomas, v'chama asecha b'sefer nechtavim. It's not a joke. V'chosem yad kal adam bo, me'alav yikara. Can't say you didn't do when they play back the video. Yafesh ha'achas v'tshuvu ma'isim tovim, v'olam haza mikol chayeh olam haba. Change is possible. Even if you're working on it. You've been there. You've done that. Because your Baal Shalom doesn't laugh. I cry. As old as you are, as young as you are, as many times have you been here, doesn't laugh. Tzadik yipol shava v'kam. Maybe the Kapitul Tehillim we recite 7 times before it's Kiyas Shofar. Al Elokim b'truah Hashem b'kol shofar, which is the pasuk we already quoted. Each one of those 7, maybe it represents our 7 fallings during the year. Ooh, and with each recital, we manage to pick ourselves back up. I don't know, I just thought of it. Sarah Yocheved Rigler writes something very powerful. Believe in your own unlimited potential. It's not that great people make great choices. People who make great choices become great people. Then all become great in our avodas Hashem by making great choices. A fool was on the way to Warsaw. He boarded a train traveling in the opposite direction. Someone said to him, "Where are you traveling?" "I'm going to Warsaw." "You're on the wrong train. You'll never reach Warsaw on this train. It's going the opposite way." "Thank you so much for telling me. I didn't realize." He stood up. He took a seat facing the opposite direction. Rabbi Biederman says, we laugh when we read this story. But what about us when it comes to teshuva? When we realize we're going the opposite direction in life. This year didn't have a title. I didn't know what to call it. It was just put on the calendar as a teshuva lecture. Shav means to return. Do we want to return? Find the right train? Go back to where we belong? Or do we take a seat that's facing the opposite way? For those who travel the LIRR, you know this well. You could sit the way going to Manhattan, or you could sit the other way. The Chafetz Chaim says, when someone is aware that the days of judgment are approaching, once again, Yom HaDin, he needs to do teshuva, so the Yetzer Hara comes along and says, you're not the only person who's standing in judgment on Rosh Hashanah. You're not the only person who's going to have a chosem, a sealing on Yom Kippur. The entire world stands in judgment. But you don't see anyone else changing their ways. They're just happy, complacent to remain how they are. Why do you be like them? Why should you be different? So the Chafetz Chaim says you have to tell your HR, I don't care what others do. There's going to be great judgment. My life is at stake. I have to repent. I have to improve. I have to save myself. Rambam writes, what is teshuva gemura? What is complete repentance? The opening of Perek Beis, Lechos Teshuva, Mishnah Torah. Zeh sheba liyado davar she'avar bo ve'efshar biyado lasos. The same matter that you sinned came to your hand, and you are able to re-sin again. Upeirash v'lo asa. You separated. It's bedtime again. There's wildness again. You have to clean up. You have to work. They have to be very early up for yeshiva. But instead of becoming frustrated, you smiled. What's teshuva? You're in the same situation. And you're able to do the same sin. You're out to the same lunch with the same person. You know when you go out to lunch, you talk Lashon Hara about Mrs. A. All the time. Every time you meet her, she has a negative comment. You have the ability to sin and you don't sin again. And why don't you sin again, says the Rambam, Mipnei HaTeshuva, because of your desire to repent. Lo miyira, not because you're afraid. But lo mikishlon koach. And not because you're weak. But you truly don't sin because you want to return to God. And he gives the example of a man who is secluded with a woman, and they sinned previously, going from the Rambam outside, they sinned previously, and he's together with her in the same city, and it's Yichud, they're able to sin again, and they don't. Furthermore, says the Rambam, af al pisha tshuva v'hatza'aka yafa la'olam. Repentance and crying out is always beautiful. Ba'asaris hayamim, Shabain Rosh Hashanah, V'yom HaKippurim, during these 10 first days of Tishrei, he yafa b'yoser. That's when teshuva and sa'aka are the most beautiful. A woman's always beautiful. But when do we say she is not a v'chasuda? When she's a kala. Teshuva and sa'aka is always beautiful. When is it the most beautiful? Right now. Umiyad, he miskabelas. Teshuva and sa'aka is immediately accepted during this time. I told you that two times in the Torah, Rosh Hashanah is referenced. Vayikra Perachav Gimel, Pasachav Dalet. And in Bamidbar Perachav Tes, Pasuk Aleph. And both times it's referred to as Yom Truah. We've already spoken as Truah as being dinned. And again, in Bamidbar, it's Trua, Yom Trua. The Avodas Pnim of Aron Yosef Luria discusses shofar blowing. I think this is a beautiful conclusion, I hope, I think. It's very powerful to me, to our Shia. And even though you heard the shofar blowing already, that's what opens up these days. That's an end on Rosh Hashanah. It's Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. The shofar is what moves Kaviyachol, the Ribbono Sha'olam, from Allah Elokim Betrua, Hashem B'kol Shofar, moves him from Din to Rachamim. And let us know, how do we conclude the Tefillah of Yom Kippur? With one final shofar blast, the Tekiyah Gedolah. Tekiyah has two meanings. I love this. It means to move or to be stuck in place. That's based on the Chumash. So the Pasuk tells us in Bereishis 32:26, Lamed Beis Chaf Vav, you're welcome to look up the Pasuk at home, please. When Yaakov is having a fight with the angel on the river Yabok, Vateka Kaf Yarach Yaakov. The angel sees he can't overcome, he gives him a blow, we can't eat the Gita Nesha. Yaakov's thigh bone becomes dislodged. Vateka. Interesting. What's that root word? Tekiyah. Vateka Kaf Yarach Yaakov. Look up the Pasuk at home, you'll see the story. Dislodged, move. On the other hand, Tekiyah also means to be stuck in place. As in, Vayakov taka es ahalo bahar. Yaakov pitched his tent in the mountain. He was stuck in place. When you pitch your tent, what does it mean? I'm not moving. It's very interesting, by the way. I realized when I was reviewing the Shir that both examples are about the same person. They're both in regard to Yaakov Avinu, the Bechir Sheba Avos, the father of the Shiftaika. So what does Yaakov teach us? On the one hand, Tekiyah means to move. On the other hand, tekiyah means to be stuck in place. The first tekiyah, so when you blow tekiyah, shvarim, trua, tekiyah, you have a tekiyah and a tekiyah. The first tekiyah means you should move yourself in the right direction. You should want to want. You need to be moving. Note, by the way, it's in regard to the foot. Vateka kaf yarech Yaakov. The foot is what moves you forward. The first tekiyah you hear means a person should want to move forward. What happens when you start to improve, when you start to change, when you want to want? I'm working on not getting upset. It's so hard. You don't realize how hard it is to change. Shvarim trua, shvarim shever. I'm broken, trua, sound the alarm. It's an emergency. It's so hard to move. You with me? Move forward, change who you are, be a different person. Okay, I want it, I will, tonight I really mean it. I'm working on not getting angry. Hashem's not going to laugh. I'm moving forward. So I start to move forward. Shvarim, I'm broken. Shever, this is so hard. Ribon Shalom, what do you want from me? Trua, sound the alarm. But you end with tekiyah. Hashem will help you conquer that place. He will stick you in your place. He will help you that you have moved to where you're permanently stuck, not in a bad way. In other words, you will be able to overcome. You will pitch your tent in that place. What happens, of course, after that? You move on to the next tekiyah. Then we move on to the next inyan in which I have to move forward. So beautiful. And you hear that final tekiyah gedola, this encompasses all our avoda of this time. Every day we're saying, don't laugh at me, I'm going to do it. I'm moving forward, I'm walking, proverbially walking. And then you encounter the shvarim and the trua. It's just hard. Memela, it's hard. But Hashem judges that with rachamim if you want it. Tekiyah, I will help you pitch your tent. You will be successful and establish yourself. Tekiyah Gedola. Last 2 minutes, the Rav said that on Yom Kippur, at the conclusion of the Ne'ilah, he often felt that though he had spent the entire day in prayer, he had not articulated a tiny fraction of what he wanted to say. He gave a mashal. A father's absent from home for an extended period of time. The son fantasizes upon the father's return. He'll fill him in on everything that happened. He's going to remember what he wants to talk to him about. It was such a long absence. In the excitement and the tension of the reunion, the son forgets everything that he wanted to say. He has such a hard time expressing himself. He articulated disorganized, fragmented ideas. A Jew, says Rav, at the end of this whole time period, has similar feelings at the conclusion of Ne'ilah. He has spoken, yet in some ways, he has said nothing at all. As the final moments of Yom Kippur are upon him, he yells, Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem, Hashem Hu HaElokim. And he feels frustrated, and he feels dissatisfied. There's such a deep longing, and words escape him, words fail him in that moment. He is compelled to release an instinctive, inarticulate cry. And that's the Tekiah Gedolah. We have said so much, and yet we have said nothing at all. In the seconds before God once again retreats into the obscuring clouds, says the Rav, man urgently expresses what he could not verbalize in the entire day, an entire 10 days, an entire month of Elul in prayer. And so we sound the final shofar. It is a response to the ultimate futility of being able to verbally express what we need. Tekiah, move forward. Keep trying. Sit on the train that's going in the right direction. Because Ribbono Shel Olam is never going to laugh at you. Shvarim Trua, when you encounter the difficulty and you're broken and you cry the alarm. Uru, uru, wake up, but Hashem, it's so hard. Bali Tar Misayin Oso. It's not the Jew that makes Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur that makes the Jew Tekiah. The Ribbono Shel Olam will help us to pitch our tent. We will be successful, Be'ezras Hashem. It sounds so lofty and holy and nice and special. It's hard. But it's not great people who make great choices. It's people become great from the choices they make. So I wish you all Hatzlacha. I wish myself humility, siyata d'shmaya, rachamim, shefa bracha, a gemara v'chasima tova to you all, Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, amen v'amen. Thank you, everybody. Amen.